You're listening to Rosie on the House.
As we head out back, it's the second Saturday of the month, which means we are talking trees. Certified arborist John Eisenhower joins us. If you have a tree question, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. You can text questions to 411-923 or send an email to info@rosieonthehouse.com. If you need a little help with some tree or insect identification, you can send images to info@rosieonthehouse.com. Good morning, Mr. Eisenhower.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. You bring a tree with you today?
Oh, I brought one in my back pocket. I always do. It's the tree of the month. The February tree of the month is the Parkinsonia microphyllum. It's what's called the green yellow Palo Verde, the foothill Palo Verde. It also goes by the little leaf Palo Verde. It's kind of our Arizona state tree's little brother, so to speak, because it's a smaller version of our state tree, which enjoys a lot more familiarity with most of our listeners and those around the state as our state tree. But I really like it. It has some amazing qualities. The reason it's called the foothill Palo Verde is it's the one you see on all the foothills around the valley here in Phoenix and around the state. Those little green dots you see all along the hillsides, those are the foothill Palo Verde.
Now, I had no idea there was a foothill Palo Verde and a state, that there was a difference. A Palo Verde is a Palo Verde. It's a green-trunked native tree. How many different varieties of Palo Verdes are there?
Well, those are the two main ones we have in the state, are native grown, but there are tons of cultivars. You've got your Palo Breas and several hybrid Palo Verdes, which we are commonly grown and distributed through our local nurseries. But the foothill Palo Verde is a smaller version of all those. It grows more slowly, it lives a long time. It can up to over 100 years in age. And if you're looking for a really dramatic, large Palo Verde, this is not a good choice for that. But if you're looking for a smaller one and you're willing to be patient to let it achieve its landscape purpose, the foothill Palo Verde is a really durable, amazing little tree. We like it a lot. It's, like I said, one of our more vigorous trees, grows in really dry, arid areas, rocky soil, whereas our blue Palo Verde likes those low-lying areas that have a little more seasonal rain. The blue Palo Verde you'll see in our little ravines and areas that are going to get a little bit of seasonal water.
On this type of Palo Verde, you said it's native, so I'm guessing this isn't one of the thornless hybrids that have come along in the last couple of years. So this is a spiny one.
Yeah, it's got little upright, very stiff little branches with little thorns on the end, little points on the end. It's not brutally thorny like your alba mesquite or even the ironwood or some of the ones that catch your clothing and snag you. You can work around them very easily with just a pair of soft gloves on, and you'll be fine. Really great for a small location and maybe one of those more drier, rockier soil areas. The little leaf Palo Verde would do you well.
The foothills Palo Verde, it's February's tree of the month, and this is the month to do.
Well, before we leave the Palo Verde too, just be on the lookout too, because they're going to be in full bloom here in the next month or so. When they come in March and April, they'll start putting on a beautiful bloom, and then it'll dot all of our hillsides with little dots of yellow, because they're going to be just a glorious display of those yellow blooms.
We were talking in the last hour with Roger Naylor about things to do in Arizona. On that list was the wildflowers. This is going to be an incredible season, I think, for both the wildflowers and the Palo Verde blooms, the amount of rain we've received since October.
Yeah, the rain is so good for all of our gardens and our trees, especially getting that additional supplemental water, which a lot of trees can do okay on our drip irrigation systems, but man, do they flourish when they get a little added seasonal rainfall, especially some nice deep soaking rain in the fall and winter. So when we turn the corner into the spring right now, they kind of hit the road running, and along with a lot of other things, like our weeds. We have this crop of weeds this spring has been amazing. So, yeah, getting out ahead of those is really important. And it's one of my notes I wanted to cover today. Be sure that you try to get to those weeds soon. I mean, if they mature and go to seed and put on seeds for the following year, you're going to have a big old crop next year, too. So be sure you try to get those under control as soon as you possibly can.
I have more goat feed than I think time to consume it before they brown up, and they won't eat them then.
Yeah.
We've got cheese weeds on the west side of the property in the wash that are taller than the kids.
I know. I walked out there in my backyard. I hadn't been out there for a week or two, and my gosh, you're knee high, thigh high, and oh no, you know. But as long as they're still green and they're still holding those little green seeds, man, get them down now. Cut them down, you know, hoe them down. Even if you can only get the tops off for now, you know. Sometimes the weeds are getting so heavy and thick, you could get one of those little scythes, you know, from the local hardware store and just, or a weed eater, and just mow them down, you know, to small stems, and deal with the stems later. Let those dry up but just if you can get that top leafy vegetative part of the weed at least down and get rid of those weeds that they hold, you'll be way ahead of the game. Just don't let them go to seed.
Don't let them go to seed.
I hate those weeds. I don't know what they are, but they're the ones that have those little black sticky seeds. If you let those weeds eventually put out those little sticky seeds, then you come in and they're all over in your socks. They're all over your pants. And we got a crop of that kind of weed in our backyard too. And I hate those letting those go too long, because that's a mess. Not only then you're tracking those little seeds all over the yard everywhere you walk, because they're getting knocked off. And
oh, if you got a long-haired dog like a Labrador or something, isn't how much fun to spend hours with a comb just trying to clean that out?
I know. It just takes me just 20 minutes just to get my clothes and my socks and my boots cleaned off before I go in the house.
And in addition for spraying for weeds, we can also spray for olives this time of year.
Yeah, this is a prime time for our olive spraying. If you haven't gotten on someone's calendar, be sure you call in this week and get going, because our spray calendar does fill up pretty quick this time of year. But we're happy to get you on the list and get those done. They are timed, because the spray has to be during the bloom cycle at specific times of the season to be sure you get good spray coverage. So this is prime time for that. And as those buds are starting to open, we have this a window of opportunity. So, get that. Make those calls this next week.
Pruning. Are we ready to start pruning frost damage yet?
Not really. You know, with our recent frost this week, it's a good indicator. You know, look at your weather report. See if you've got, you know, right now it's the 10-day forecast is pretty mild. Nothing lower than the 40s. So, but this time, probably next month, around the 1st of March, is usually the average last day of frost. But check your local weather report and make sure we don't have a late frost, you know, on the horizon. And then you can start trimming back. You could probably safely start cutting back some of that frost damage now with a 10-day forecast. But, hey, I'm not going to be the one who says that you gave you the green light and have you coming back complaining in a month from now when we get this late February, early March frost, and then then you have a harder freeze, and it'll freeze deeper into the plant. So that's why we leave all the frost damage leaves on for just a few more weeks until we're home free from the frost, and then you can start cutting those back.
It's been a few years since we've had one. My lime tree, we haven't had any kind of frost on that in the last 4 or 5 years. This year, about the top third, if not a little bit more, is
got a little bit of a frost.
Oh, yeah. Is brown.
Oh, brown.
It did.
Yeah, limes are the most frost sensitive of all the citrus, and when they get frozen back, they freeze back pretty deep. But if you got a tree that's, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years of age, generally they won't die. They'll just freeze back to a bit of a hat rack, and you've got to cut them way down. And then they'll just grow back the following year. Ours is the same way. We had a heavy freeze a few years ago, and now the tree's really huge.
It'd be the best way to trim it, too, because a lot of times we're not aggressive enough. And
the freeze kind of...
Well, the nature does it organically for us. Let's get to Sue, who's jumped on the line at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Sue, how can we help you?
Oh, good morning. It seems as if you sort of touched on what I was going to call about. I have an orange, grapefruit, and lemon tree. They are huge. They've never been professionally cut. And the one guy that was here said, well, you know, you should be cutting them down now, you know, trimming them. But I want to make sure that I trim them at the proper time of the year, because the one is almost hitting the house and the other one is almost hitting the pathway where you walk.
Yeah, it's a great question. And this is prime time for trimming all of your citrus. We always tell people between the 15th of February and the 15th of March is the best time to cut citrus back heavily, because it does give you an opportunity to, one, salvage some of the fruit that might be on the trees, but you're after the frost danger, but before the real hot weather comes in. So really February 15th to about April 1st is a great time to, if you have some heavier pruning to do on your citrus trees. That being said, be careful you don't cut them too far back, so that you leave large open areas that are exposed to too much sun, because if the hot weather comes, you know, after you know the 15th or the of April or into May, the tree may not have time to recover and put on a little additional foliage to protect that sensitive bark from sunburn. Citrus bark is about a 1/16 of an inch thick. You can just take your fingernail and scratch it, and it takes just a 2 hours of interrupted sunlight on any portion of the main trunk or branches to sunburn citrus. And once citrus bark is damaged, the cambium just below it is permanently lost, and you lose the conductive capacity of the tree to uptake water and nutrients and to transport the carbohydrates to the rest of the tree. So that little patch of bark that's burned is gone forever. So protect the bark of your citrus trees in any way you can. Just don't open them up too much.